Oh, the business of sport, plenty going on.
Plenty going on. Hello,
footy,
Mark.
Cricket. You know what? My voice improves when I see you, because I've got so many things I need to say to you, Wally.
How are you, mate? Some would say it's quite seductive. Is that any feedback to that, the wife?
You've got to be joking.
Poor bugger. Soldier on. Well,
I feel fine. Anyhow, wait.
And you look wonderful. That's the most important thing.
We'll not burden the listeners tomorrow if there's not an improvement, but I think there will be. It's much to talk about, including cricket, footy, soccer. But I want to start with the cricket.
Yeah. Well, the cricket was good. I really enjoyed the cricket last night. I enjoyed watching Steve Smith. Wonderful catch.
Oh, the catch.
Wonderful catch. Wonderful. I don't know where that catch rate.
Straight to the listeners.
I'd be interested to know if there's been a better one that I've seen, but I thought it was, and I thought the swan dive with face first into the turf made it all the more better. So, interesting the cricket. The Maxwell thing's been interesting. I did see that there's probably a little bit to go there. I'm not sure if he was left out for the right reason. I did hear, I think, Simon Cattich saying that he needed to be playing. But look, we've got to remember who we're playing. I mean, we get caught up in the moment. We forget about the past and very quickly take to the day, and we played New Zealand. Finally, we played New Zealand. New Zealand's the size of Melbourne. So we didn't beat South Africa. We didn't beat the Poms. We played New Zealand. And without being too disrespectful, we probably should beat New Zealand, shouldn't we?
Okay. But we should also beat South Africa at home soil.
We should, yeah.
Shouldn't lose 5-0 in a one-day series to the South Africans.
No.
So baby steps.
No.
9-4-2-9-11-16. Best catch you've seen on TV. Don't tell us ones from the local cricket, because we can't relate.
We always remember the great John Dyson catch, don't we?
Let's rule that out.
Why?
Because 90% of the calls will say John Dyson.
All right, so you can't say John Dyson.
Bar John Dyson. My favourite was Roger Harper.
All right, love watching Roger.
Could he field?
Yeah, whoever was. Could he bowl, though? He couldn't bowl, could he? What was he in the team for his fielding?
12th man.
Right, very good 12th.
Took one at slip where the play was hitting the ball through the onside.
Yes.
Hardest catch. When they go through the onside, takes the edge, flew to the off.
Yes.
And caught it at second or third.
Yeah. Well, that was a wonderful catch last night. So I was interested. I enjoyed watching the cricket, and I think it's good to see some, you know, Cummings back in and some younger players going well. And I enjoyed Matthew Wade's little cameo as I watched that yesterday afternoon while I was doing a little bit of work. Interesting also, Jarman Impey. Do you know what happened with Jarman Impey? Jarman Impey.
He took out a few cars. A la buddy.
Well, there's a couple of things here. This is interesting because he was actually at Angus Monfrey's place in the afternoon. They had training in the morning. They went and had a seat. I reckon he's done a
They
runner.
Went and had a what?
They went back to his place and had a sip and had a bit of a barbie back there. Now, somehow.
A sip.
Somehow he's done a runner.
Yep.
He's snuck out the back. He's got in his car. He hasn't swiped one, two, or three. He swiped five. Five cars he swiped. Left the car.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure. It's a good effort.
Think about the practicality. You hit the first car.
It reminds me of the Wolf of Wall Street. You remember the Wolf of Wall Street scene? Now, I dare say Jarman Impey wasn't on my...
That was in a driveway, wasn't it? At a party.
But the other thing that he's then done, he's run or walked or scampered 17 kilometres home.
I guess that's a good thing about being a footballer.
Fit.
How far would you get?
17 kilometres he's gone. So Angus Monfrey's out. He's copped a whack. How do you reckon Angus has gone? It's one of those party scenes, really, isn't it? You come out and you sort of go, what's happened here? Bang, 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 bang. Off you go. There's somebody running down the street, full stretch. Off he goes.
It's a sort
we
of
shouldn't laugh.
You know what? It's a timely reminder this time of the year. If you've got mates over and you're having a barbie and a beer,
mate,
don't let them drive.
No, absolutely.
Take the keys.
Actually, that is the serious part of it. As I said, some people do slip out the back door and do a runner, but the really important thing was he was at a mate's place. How he ever got out there and just drove is extraordinary, and it's quite sad for him, but he'll get through it. And fortuitously, no one was injured. That's the most important thing of the whole thing.
The key.
A couple of calls there, Finey.
And, of course, anything about drink driving alleged at the moment...
I know, I think he's owned up to the fact that he'd been on the source.
Okay. famous catches.
Yes.
Let's start with Ryan on the road.
Yeah, g'day, gents. How are you?
Good, Ryan. What do you got?
I've got, I can never remember the year of this one, but it was the catch where, I can't believe he even made it, Fatty Boughton, an absolute one-hand screamer in this charity match at Sydney Oval, I believe, the SCG. I got out of my seat. I couldn't believe my eyes when I put that one.
Now, Fatty Vorton was a very... People wouldn't understand. Younger people of today, they might see the Channel 9 footy show late at night or some snippets because it's quite blokish. But Fatty Vorton was a very talented sportsman, wonderful rugby league player and Queensland coach, and supposedly a very good young cricketer. And he did take a great catch finding. Do you remember that? Was one of those
1993.
Was it one of those first ever charity games? Was a great catch.
93.
There you go. Long time ago.
I got a nom.
Who?
I think his name was Silk.
Silk. Nickname Silk.
Jordan Silk. Playing in a one day for Tassie.
Well, that's a good one if you can get him. Somebody will know him. Somebody will know him.
If anybody remembers, it was about sort of that mid-off, mid-on region.
Jordan Silk.
Oh, what a catch. Paul's in Hampton. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, boys. My fond memory was Steve Waugh one-hander when he was running back. It was a day-nighter, I think it was 1989, versus the West Indies at the G. It was before the Great Southern Stand was built, and the old asbestos roof of the old grandstand almost blew off. The crowd went absolutely nuts.
There you go. There's been some great catches. I mean, Channel 9 will probably put it together now to say, where does this one rank? And whoever came up with the term classic catch, was it the KFC classic catch or a long time ago? It's a great catchphrase, isn't it, from that point of view?
A year supply of KFC.
Yeah, that's a lot of KFC. I'm sure you can only have one a week, can't you?
Egg on the line, Paul.
I reckon
no KFC, but a Pataki.
I reckon Alan Dale took a great catch one day.
I know Alan comes in a bit. In evenings?
Does he? Yeah, I reckon Alan...
Lovely bloke.
Ask him. I reckon he took a great catch one day somewhere, if I remember.
That one by Silk was for the Sydney Sixers in the Big Bash.
2 years ago at mid-on, the Big Bash game. There you
Sixers
go.
In the BBL. A ripper. Frank's in Wan Turner. G'day, Frank.
G'day, boys. Yeah. Finally, for God's sake, go and get yourself some Melaleuca honey and just get a couple of tablespoons into your... India, that'll help that voice of yours, I tell you.
I tell you this. I've got a lot of advice. If I took all the advice, I'd have a lot of honey, fishermen's friends, and about 15 different types of alcohol. People love grog as a cure.
What have you got for us, Frank?
Look, one of the ones that sticks in my head was actually a real reflex catch, but it was pretty exciting, was old Tubby Taylor fielding in the slips.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that when he came out of his hand, it hit his foot and came back up, and he's... As he's falling, he's re-caught it. It was a really great kind of a reflex catch, you know, to kind of recover so quick. You know, it was a really good captain's catch.
I do remember that catch. A little one just down low. Someone actually just tweeted, best catch was Lyle Lovett catching Julia Roberts.
He ended up dropping that one, though, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah.
Made some great catches over time. I'll tell you the other thing I did, which speaking of catching and missing and everything else going on, I went to the soccer Friday night finally. I absolutely love the soccer. I adore the fact that...
The game or the experience?
I know, I love the game. I've always loved the game, but I love the experience down here. The Melbourne victory game the other night, and I listened to the boys, the Diego's on the way home in the drive, and they had a lot of discussion. I'm interested in where Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory fit in the landscape here. Melbourne Victory have a wonderful following, and, you know, 16,000 the other night there. I thought it was a poor crowd for Melbourne Victory for a Friday night game.
Yep.
But the atmosphere was amazing, and that stadium leads itself to that. We're now talking about they having a third team mark. Oh, is it sustainable? Is it only sustainable if we go back to the old model, which would be to put in someone like South Melbourne, who has an element of historical ethnicity to it, which it isn't only just a Greek club, but it does have that element.
But surely those fans, 10,000 Greek fans, a lot of them followed Victory or City anyhow.
Well, that's right.
Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'd be interested to see what they think. I mean, but that does happen. I mean, when you go to the SCG, for example, and if Collingwood play Sydney, there's a lot of people there for the one day only who are expats living in Sydney that wear their Collingwood jersey, but every other day they barrack for Sydney when they're up there.
Yep.
That may well be the case here. I would have thought there's probably a number of people that would barrack for South Melbourne if they came in the competition, but still have a soft spot for Victory, who've been in the competition a long time now. But I don't know how... Is a third team desirable, and would it be sustainable?
You know, South Melbourne did meet with the A-League last week.
No, I didn't know that.
They got a very favourable hearing. The A-League said you can enter the comp if you change your name, your colours, move to Tasmania...
Hey, well, don't laugh. Greg Barnes is involved in the team down in Tassie, and He was telling me last week that they felt they had a very favourable hearing as well. They've got some heavy hitters behind them down there, particularly when you've got government money. I mean, the issue with Tasmania is...
They've looked at footy. Footy have dropped the ball.
Well, the issue with Tasmania is geographical, isn't it? You don't know where they play. Do they play in Hobart? Do they play in Launceston? Where do they play?
That's the soccer people say that the divide is geographical but not philosophical. In other words, they don't hate each other, the north and the south.
In soccer,
and they're happy to share. In footy,
it's definitely geographical in footy, isn't it? It's actually, for those that aren't haven't been part of it or experienced it, it's an incredible divide down there, geographically, in AFL. They generally don't like each other. I remember when I was at St Kilda, we went down there and we were playing games in Launceston. We went to Hobart to try to establish a bit of a foothold, and we got told very quickly, well, you're not playing here, so we don't want to know about you. I was fascinated by that. So soccer, I think Tasmania, if they can get that part of it right, probably deserve a term. Are they the next license? Not too sure.
Possibly. Some more noms for great catches off the SMS. I love this one. Booney's catch to bring up Warney's hat-trick at the G.
Yes.
Of Devon Malcolm.
Yes. Devon Malcolm.
I think it was Devon.
Malcolm Marshall?
No, it was England. I think it was Devon Malcolm. Let's go to Andrew in Altona. G'day, Andrew.
Devon Malcolm.
Oh, Troy's in Ainsbury. Hello, Troy.
How you going, boys? First time, long time.
Good on you, mate. How you going?
Let's have a good time.
Righto. I was just thinking back. I think it was a couple of World Cups ODIs in the Caribbean about 8 years or so ago. And it was the fat captain for Bermuda.
Oh, Dwayne Leverock.
Remember that? Scream out to the right-hand side.
Big Dwayne Leverock.
There you go. That's it. Well, I did on something like that.
Oh, mate.
You remember that one?
Not only first time, long time, we've had a happy ending. That was hilarious.
Wasn't it?
He did not look like a cricketer.
No, he looked a bit like me. I'm a truck driver, but his big mitt went out and just stuck in his hand. I remember that.
I should finish the sentence. He did not look like a cricketer who does not play in every thirds team in Victoria. he just looks like the bloke that, you know, I'll open the batting or field a slip. That is all. Great catch. Great call. Two Pataki hams. Let's head to Andrew in Altona.
Don't know what happened before, Viney, but I dropped out. There was a catch that Steve Waugh took at Gully years ago, and he was nearly at level with the ground, but about 4 foot, 5 foot up.
Can't recall, but you paid a good picture. I'll look it up during the break. Andrew's in Melton. Another Andrew. G'day, mate.
How's it going?
Good.
2002, Glenn McGrath against England in Adelaide took an absolute screamer, full diving catch on the boundary.
The optical illusion.
It was a...
He went with one hand and he sort of caught it with the other hand.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's it.
Oh, two Pataki's there as well.
Well, there's a if someone, I'm sure someone will Google YouTube and find some videos of some wonderful catches there they want to share with us in time.
I can't remember the player, but I think it was West Indies. Anyhow, the Aussie batsman, this goes back 30 years, smashed it to short leg. The guy turned his back and it got caught in the crease between the guy's arm and his body.
I reckon Jonty Rhodes took a great catch one day too in a World Cup game.
Wouldn't surprise. David is in Doreen. Hello, David.
How you going, boys? I hope you feel better.
I feel fine. Sound not good.
My catch is absolute cricketing feeling god. He was standing at about first or second slip and somehow dived to his right and took it at third slip vertical to the, horizontal to the ground. The great Ricky Ponting.
Now, he was a great fieldsman. We've had some great fields. Some of the Australian blokes have been wonderful fieldsmen over the generations, haven't they?
I can remember Ricky's maybe first ever test at the G. They brought him on to bowl. He took a wicket. And he took this magnificent catch. And the headline in the Herald Sun, I think it was Herald Sun back then, he can bat, he can bowl, he can field. Super boy.
There you go.
Super kid.
Yeah, right. You do have a good memory for that stuff.
Well, you know what?
That's your job.
I cannot remember where my car keys are. I do not know the dates of any of my kids' birthdays. I retain some things much to the detriment of the rest of my life.
I'm not sure the kids would like to hear that.
I honestly always forget their birthdays.
Oh, dear me.
Couple of the SMS, you can read them, Wally, from the top.
Mark Waugh diving from second slip in the 99 World Cup final in England against Pakistan. Took it where third slip would have been standing. Remember that one?
No.
Tubby Taylor's catch off his foot in a one day. Yes. You do remember that one. Yeah, yes. That's the famous one, of course. And a blonde-haired Aussie from the 70s, Edwards, took some blinders.
Ross Edwards.
Well, there was two. There was Ross and there was Wally Edwards, the two of them.
Wally was the hapless hooker.
Wally was chairman of Cricket Australia, wasn't he?
Played a couple of tests, went out hooking three of the four innings.
Was he chairman of Cricket Australia as well, Wally Edwards? I think he might have
believe
been.
Believe so.
Carl Hooper in the gully took a few great ones in his day.
But off the SMS, type into YouTube, US wicketkeeper catch. His name is Akeem Dodson. I've just looked at it.
How's it look?
Oh, my goodness. Well, pardon me, welcome back. Okay, Wally's in the studio. We're talking about great catches and other sport besides. Off the SMS, that overweight Bermudan catch by Dwayne Leverock, he was a policeman.
Google Ryan Campbell caught Barsby Bold Dale. It's Karate Kid stuff. Now, I did have a look at it, Mark. It's a fair catch, that one. Is that just luck, that little...
Reflex ones?
Yeah.
Nope, I say not.
Some wonderful catches.
Off... Let's go to callers. Yes. Andy's in Bayswater. Hello, Andy.
Hello, guys. How are you going?
Good, Andy.
I remember Mark Greatbatch. He bagged an absolute sitter, and then about two overs later, he took one of the best catches I've ever seen at second slip, and just give it to the crowd something shocking.
He did he, Mark Greatbatch?
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, the crowd used to get stuck in a Greatbatch a bit, though.
For what?
Being a bit overweight, a bit slow.
Eating a few pies.
Eddie Hemmings like.
Eddie Hemmings?
Well, you know, the famous plug of the pig.
I do, yes.
There was an Eddie Hemmings and too, Mike Gatting pig, wasn't there?
Yes. They get sued today for doing that.
The pigs?
No, the people who put them in the crowd.
Is that true? You get sued?
No, I reckon you nearly would, wouldn't you?
That'd be tough.
Well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know these days. You can't do much without getting... Something slammed on your door.
OH&S. A lot of fines.
A lot of fines.
Had a parking fine lately?
Oh, I don't talk to you about it.
Any number. Just.
Yes.
270, 310.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Just whatever number you want. Just make them up.
And they're good at it. They work hard. They're good at it.
Let's go to Jason in Bond Beach. Hello, Jason.
G'day, boys. I reckon fatigue's got to come into it too. You got the test match in against New Zealand at the Gabba. You had Martin Crowe on 100 and Reid on 100, and our biggest pie chucker ever, Dave Gilbert, has got Reid to edge one in front of fourth slip. They've been out there for 2 days. Alan Border took it from second slip. It's probably the best catch I've ever seen. He's been out there for 2 days in the Brisbane Heat and took that. You don't expect an edge when you've got two blokes on 100. That was amazing.
Biggest pie chucker ever, Dave Gilbert. Dave Gilbert ran cricket in New South Wales for a long time, was a man of great influence, Mark.
They reckon he bowled straight.
Well, I don't know how well he bowled. I mean, there's some...
No swing, no seam.
Mick,
it's true.
Mick Malone, he could swing the ball.
He used to swing it. Remember that ball he bowled to Wayne Daniel?
Yes.
At Waverley?
Yeah, Waverley, yeah. What about Sam Gannon? Could he bowl? Queenslander?
No. Well, he played for WA. When he was picked in the test team, his name was John Gannon.
What? Wasn't Sam?
His sort of nickname was Sam.
Yes.
Probably the worst I've seen. But I didn't rate Wayne Clark. He came in and bowled beautifully.
There's been some interesting plays in and out over. I think Callum Ferguson's been added to that as a one-off.
Oh, I fear that when I take talk back in 5 years from now and we talk about pie chuckers, Joe Menny's name may come up.
Joe Menny's name. Well, where did Joe Menny get plucked from and then thrown back to obscurity?
He's a South Aussie.
Mm.
You know the saying? Many are called, but few are chosen.
Mm.
Many was called, but he ain't going to be chosen again. Reg is in Melton. G'day, Reg.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you going?
Yeah, no, we're well, Reg. How are you?
Oh, well, one of you, so that's okay.
Reg, that's a bit tough on Wally.
Yeah, no,
I like Wally when he's with KB. It's fantastic hour.
Go for it, Reg. What do you got?
There's two. One of them you'd have to cast your memory back a long time. Colin Cowdery. He came out here when the Poms were really struggling and he was old, overweight, and they brought him out. He walked out. I Leaned it over the whacker. Looked like Mr. Bloody, you know, the tire man. He's all padded up. But when he was fielding, one of the Aussie guys got a sneak. When he went to first slip, he took the catch one-handed, put the ball in his pocket in the one movement, and then turned around and looked at the boundary like it was going for four.
Right.
Tell me, did Colin Cowdery get plucked from obscurity like Bobby Simpson did during the
very similar
World Series cricket days? Brought back to
41, he was something when he came to Australia. They were, but he faced Lily Thompson.
Yeah,
pair of pads, box gloves.
What sort of glove? With the old spike glove? Not a real glove.
He wasn't 12 years old. He had real gloves, but he wore them on the body. I mean, he was well padded.
Yeah.
With personal blubber, but I mean, he really was gutsy.
There's a wonderful little, excuse me, speaking of gutsy, there's a wonderful little thing on the Cricket Australia website at the moment about Justin Langer's first innings in cricket when he faced up to the West Indies, and he went in at the end of the day with David Boone, and he copped it on the body everywhere in that test in Adelaide. And it's worth watching the build up. If we've discussed here for a number of weeks the importance of the baggy green mark and how it was everything to an Australian hopeful to actually get a baggy green. Well, if you want to know, if you want validation of that, go and Google, go to the Cricket Australia website and watch Justin Langer speak about the day he walked into his hotel room in Adelaide and there was a box there where it said Justin Langer, Australian cricketer. And he got the cap out, he got his bat out, he was practicing in front of the mirror with the baggy green on. And it's fantastic. And then to go through the whole thing about actually facing up to your first ball and what it went through was quite fascinating to read. So to watch, I should say. So I love the fact that there's still that pride in the baggy green because we've lost it a bit, I reckon.
One more call on the catchers. Reg in Melton. Then we'll take up some footy talk after the break. David in Ballarat. Dave in Ballarat, how are you?
How are you going, boys? Now, look, I certainly remember the Colin Cowdery one that sticks up in my brain every now and again. But two, one is Bruce Yardley back in the middle 80s.
Was that caught and bowled?
Stretching high on the boundary line.
No, defence, boundary, okay. Yeah.
And the other, look, I reckon one of the best efforts I've seen was only a month or so ago was Glenn Maxwell stretching over the boundary line, and obviously he couldn't take it because he would have fallen over the boundary line, and throwing it back and someone else took it, and I reckon that was the best group catch I've seen.
Good call. Hang on to the line. We take another pig and get the best bits off it from Pataki. How about the worst drop catches? Just me and you, Wally.
I reckon me. In the backyard, I've dropped a few of my time, mate.
Well, welcome back. Wally, Brian Waldron in the studio right through till midday.
Here with Smokey Dawson.
Oh, no, the voice regenerating because...
You're sounding good.
Because I want to talk about Barry Hall.
Yeah, no...
Off to the Gold Coast.
Well...
You know him pretty well.
Look, I ran into Barry Hall. I know Barry Hall very well from my days at St Kilda. I actually traded Barry Hall. Not I. We traded Barry Hall to Sydney, and I remember he'd been through some...
Did that pick get Del Santo?
That pick got Del Santo... was used to get Heath Black, and was used to get Trent Noble at the time, I reckon, the three of them. But Barry Hall, I remember Barry Hall won't mind me telling this story, but Barry had some challenges. Barry's a good person. I really like Barry. And then one night I got a phone call. Excuse me, he'd had some issues socially. Barry seemed to find trouble. And I got a phone call about 3 o'clock one morning from the police saying, come and grab Baz, we've got him outside a nightclub. And I picked him up and he was being restrained and he got in the car and he just said, Brian, I didn't do anything. He said, they just want to take me on because I'm Barry Hall. And I remember conceded vividly, I said, mate, you got to go. We've got to get you out of here. It just isn't going to work. It's not going to change. And it was the best thing ever for Barry. And it was probably best for St Kilda that we did that as well, because obviously he gave us Nick Del Santo and Heath Black was very good. Not so much Trent, but he tried hard.
Trent Noble.
Yeah. And then I ran into Barry. Barry and I spoke at a function about 3 months ago. And I asked him, and his partner lives on the Gold Coast, and he was talking about getting involved more in footy because he sort of hadn't filled that void. I'm not sure he's 100% comfortable behind the microphone. I think he likes doing it, but it's probably not what he sees himself doing a long time. But I think he would be a wonderful asset because you know what he is? He's smart. Very, very good footballer. Fantastic footballer.
I think very underrated for how...
Oh, absolutely.
How neat he was. Beautiful short kick.
Oh, he's a beautiful
used to square the shoulders.
Yeah.
technique-wise, very good.
Oh, and could read the play really well, and a power forward. So he'll be very good for those players up there. And I'm pleased he's gone there. And Barry Hall is, you know, Barry did some things like we all have in life that he regrets. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he was a premiership captain. Amongst those three players that were captain of Sydney that year, he was the one chosen by his peers to stand up and receive the trophy. So that says something about him, doesn't it? And he left in difficult circumstances, but he went to the Bulldogs and he was fantastic for them. So I would think he's a great get for the Gold Coast to fill that role. So I'm pleased for him that he's doing that.
Let's hope the Gold Coast tap into not the wrong side of his aggression.
No, the right side. That's all in the past for Barry. Although he was talking about doing some boxing again, but I...
Because they've got a bloke that can do it down back.
Who?
Stephen May.
Yeah, he's a tough player. It's probably make or break for the Gold Coast this year. I think there hasn't been one franchise that's been successful, and I think the problem that we've got with the Gold Coast is GWS have proven that if you get the culture right and you get the right people in the right places, it becomes a place of destination.
When you say one franchise not successfully been on the Gold Coast?
Yeah, absolutely. There hasn't been one. There hasn't been one franchise in any sport at all that has been able to get a foothold and make themselves financially independent but also successful on the court, on the field, on the pitch. Not one, which is quite fascinating. So they
I'll give you a Bataki ham if you could name their NRL teams.
The Seagulls?
No, not the nicknames, the teams.
No, I can't.
The different teams they've had up there.
Well, they've had the Titans, they've had the Seagulls, Tweedhead Seagulls, was it?
There's been Gold Coast Tweedhead, there's been...
The Titans, there was another one in between. There was one year that was actually quite successful, but they got railroaded as well. The other interesting AFL appointment, there's two other interesting appointments. One is Peter Schwab's gone from Brisbane to the AFL. I think Brisbane would...
They all end up back as umpires.
Well, I think Brisbane would be very disappointed to lose Peter, who... I do divulge as a friend through connections for years, and obviously Peter actually was at Richmond when I was there, and he played in the reserves one day and took 35 possessions, he told me. But Peter's a fantastic bloke, and he'll be a bad loss to Brisbane, but he'll be a wonderful addition to the umpire's ranks at the AFL. So it's congratulations to him. And the other fascinating appointment is Jeff Walsh back to Collingwood, because when Jeff Walsh left Collingwood, let's just say he left in interesting circumstances. Nothing other than that he probably had enough of the politics of Collingwood, like everyone has enough of different times of politics of the places they work at, finally. So Eddie wanted it, so Eddie got it. And I think Buckley probably wanted it as well. And one thing about Jeff Walsh, he's a very, very good football person, finally. Very good football person and very well regarded. I suppose the question it begs is, if you're a North supporter, what happened there? Why did he all of a sudden go North, I'm retiring? Was it his choice or what happened? I don't sort of understand that, do you?
Oh, that's an internal matter. Now, with these positions of football manager, there's a bit of a carousel here.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the jobs go around and around.
Mm.
Is the idea of taking somebody that's tried and tested, is that the number one objective of a club, or are they looking for the next new bright young thing?
Well, there's been the AFL have quite often said in recent times that they've struggled with the quality of people coming through in senior ranks, and they're looking to attract more people. I think it is horses for courses a little bit. I would think that the Collingwood situation has come about because they've had instability. Barmy went, Gubby Allen's gone. Buckley's in the last year of a contract, which is seen to be somewhat tenuous. And they probably want someone with experience, don't they? So from that point of view, I would think Jeff Walsh with, what's Jeff, 60?
Yep.
And then, you know, you can't put, wisdom's wasted on the elderly, as they say. So for his wisdom and experience, and don't forget also, I mean, when he was made a life member of Collingwood, Eddie went to great lengths to say that his time and influence in their last premiership was instrumental. So, look, it's good to get him back there. He's had a very decorated career in AFL. He's been to a number of clubs. And good on him. Good to have good people back in the game. No doubt about that.
We go to the break, but I'll give you the NRL teams on the Gold Coast. No one got it.
Do you know?
Southeast Crushers, no.
No, they're Brisbane-based.
Gold Coast Titans, this is working backwards. Gold Coast Chargers.
Chargers.
The Gold Coast Seagulls,
yes.
But the first ever team, the Gold Coast Tweedhead Giants. Welcome back. Almost through. Almost got the job done. BP to follow. Brett Phillips. And I promise I'll only come back tomorrow with 100% in the vocal department. I'm sure it'll happen. Great question for you, Brian Waldron, in the studio off the SMS.
Yeah, someone said, is there a pathway to work in football administration for people who love the game but weren't blessed with enough talent to get into the AFL system through playing the game?
Sure there is.
Well, that was me.
It's called the Brisbane Lions.
That was me, because I didn't have any talent to play the game and I got involved.
How did you do it?
You need to work hard and you need to put yourself out there. And you need a bit of luck, to be honest, and someone that actually is in the game. I had a bloke called Barry Lyons, who was general manager of the Sydney Swans and helped me get involved with Richmond first time. And Dougie Vickers, for some reason, took a liking to me.
Oh, I'm going to be tough. Yes. Private school boy?
No, De La Salle boy, mate.
Since we're De La Salle, not a private school.
We're very much an egalitarian society at De La. No, we aren't the APS side. We're an Associated Catholic College team,
All right, but there's a bit of a network there.
Certainly a network, and Barry Lyons was a De La Salle boy who helped me through my old
collegiate network. There you go. And that's a great thing. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. So from that point of view, you need look.
Well, what if you're starting cold? What if you've got a son or a daughter? I mean, the AFL's good. They've got some scholarships, etc. But even in the media, I say this, that go somewhere, knock on the door, see if there's something in the offing. And whatever you do, do it with absolute, be fastidious. Get there on time. Never let anybody down. And you'll quickly climb that ladder.
So I'll tell you how I got in very quickly. I went for a job at the old VFA. I was a teacher. I went to the job at the VFA, Athol Hodgetts, for a player development role, finally. And I missed it.
Ex North Melbourne and Coburg?
Yeah. And he was running and it was just like doing clinics and everything. And he sent me a letter and he said, you missed the job. If you need any more information, call me. So I rang him and I said, why don't I get the job? He said, you don't have experience. I said, how the hell do I get experience if you don't give me a chance? He said, you want to get experience? You go and work for nothing. So I went to Oakley Footy Club and worked for nothing for 6 months to get the experience to do it. So I was teaching during the week and working on weekends for nothing at Oakley Footy Club. They offered me a job there, which led to a job at Richmond. So you've got to do the hard yards. I said to my daughter last night, who works and was saying how hard she's working, I said, that's life. You've got to do the hard yards early to get the opportunity. So I would say to anyone, do your qualifications, get your degrees, but you need to be networking and making sure you tap into people in those positions to give you a chance and volunteer to get some experience.
Great call. Off the SMS, VAFA, AFL. Local footy.
Western region.
Local footy will find something for you.
Hey, listen, if you rang Peter Harley at the Western Region Footy League and said, Peter, I'm interested to get some experience in sports admin. Can I help out somewhere? He would give you probably 10 clubs. If you rang Michael Sholley at the VAFA and said, do I get experience and try to help? There would be 25 clubs wanting more people. And all those things add to your CV. So I would say to anyone wanting to do that, there's no easy way in. There is no easy way in. You have to do the hard yards to show people you're prepared to do the work. That's the only way in.
The other thing is, especially for people already with a bit of experience, maybe looking to go the next step, I think the women's AFL is a serious competition and it has serious commercial value.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So there could be an opportunity there, especially for journos looking for a niche sport to cover, something that they can associate themselves with and be associated with. Don't rule out WAFL.
Well, the other thing is there's all these clubs that are out there wanting people to add content to their online sites these days. For example, my club, De La, in the Amateurs, we're looking for someone next year to write our match reports. Now, you might think, well, I don't really want to do that, but at the end of the day, if you can actually add that you have on a dozen times in one season put together 600-700 words that has been read by a couple of thousand people every week, it adds to your credibility. So there's all those opportunities. We're doing some work at the moment with Holmes Glen, TAFE, and there's a number of people there that are helping us do things. So there's no easy way through, finding, is there? I mean, people like you sitting on the other side of the microphone here, there would have been times you had to do the hard yards to get the experience, and you have to do that no matter what industry you choose.
I worked for 10 years doing bits and pieces to get lucky, and that's what you need to do. Look, if you want to get into radio broadcasting, you only need two things, and that is you need to be devoted, absolutely devoted to your job every day, any time slot, and you need a good, strong voice.
You've got that.
Not today. Coming back. You know what? It'll come back now. You know when it comes back?
When's that?
When the first time my missus says to me, did you do something? Did you do? I'll find voice then.
Hey, one last thing I want to mention, Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods has been the butt of many a joke. And he's, but on the weekend, when you look at someone, I read an article with his injuries and the issues that he's had in life. To come out and shoot a 65, by crikey, that's a good effort. If Tiger Woods can come back to be the player that he was, it will be one of the great stories in sport. So let's watch that space. That'll be interesting to see.